Besrat Hashem, we're continuing with our learning of Rav Shalom's book, Begana Shalom. We're learning from the Hebrew version. We're on page 26, chapter heading HaMeser, the message. We just finished two stories, two mashalim that Rav Arish brought us to show us the importance of Shalom Bayit. One was a story of the Holy Parosh that spent all his life in Torah mitzvot but never got married. The other is a story of the Baal Chesed who was married and did Chesed for everyone apart from his wife. And both of those missed the boat. Both of those are examples of people who think that they're serving Hashem, and they're not really. Why aren't they really? Because it's only when they're married that they can really see whether they have emunah. It's only when they're married that they can really start to work on their midot. That's a true test. True test of a person only is revealed at that time. Avarish continues on page 26. Shemati mikama tzadikim shesefer ze aya lenehem. So Avarish says that he heard from a number of tzadikim that this book was in front of them. Sha'amru, that they said, Shekol mishi yomad heitev et ha-sefer hazeh, that everyone who will learn well this sefer, v'yachzor alav kol chodesh, and will go back over it every month, v'kayem et ha-katuv bo, and will fulfill what it says in it, muvtach lo, she'al yedei zeh hu yibatel mimenu, mibnei beito, mikol am Yisrael, kol gezeot va'ot. It is promised to him that through this, through reading the book, through learning the book continuously, constantly, he will cancel from his house and from all of Am Yisrael gezeirot ra'ot, very harsh decrees, sarot, troubles, machalot, illnesses, mitot chatufot v'kodome, unfortunate deaths, etc. Right? The person who's learning this book and fulfilling it will actually merit to cause decrees to be taken away, to be cancelled. Why? Ki rov ruban shel hatzrot, because most of the troubles sheyesh bo'olam that exist in the world, kugon tunat drachim, piguim, machalot kashorot, for example, car accidents, terrorist attacks, difficult illnesses, etc. All of these are coming through the suffering of the women of Am Yisrael. That their husbands do not respect them. And they cry tears. And this arouses very strong dinim, very strong judgments in Shemayim. Mizeh nilmad al pi haklal shelimudeinu chazal shemidah tova merubah. And through this we can learn out from a saying of Chazal. Chazal tell us that the measure of good is much more than the measure of not good. Chas v'shalom. Because if we can learn out then that if the tears or a tear of a woman creates such harsh decrees in the world, how much more so can the smile of a woman bring goodness and bracha into the world? But and the happiness of a wife. And then it's certain for sure that a person who can merit to achieve Shalom Bayit, how much more so they can bring endless bracha into the world. This is what Chazal had taught us, and what they said. Kabdu neshotechem b'shvil shetitashu, right? The Gemara tells us that a person, if he wants to be wealthy, he should respect, give kavod to his wife. The Chenamu, they also said, he's harul b'kavod neshotehem. She'ena bracha metziya b'beito shel adam ela b'shvil kavod ishto. The person should be very careful with the kavod of his wife, the respect of his wife, because the bracha, the blessing, is not found in his home except due to the kavod of his wife, respect that he gives his wife. Uvvadai lo ita kavnato shel chazal le bracha gashmit. And for sure, the intention of Chazal when they said this was not just talking about materialistic brachot. Ul osher gashmi bilvad, and to the materialistic riches. Ela lechol habrachot hashba'ot hatovot sheicholot liot. Rather, they were referring to all of the blessings, all of the spiritual blessings that can influence and bring goodness to a person. Rashi is teaching us that a person should know that when they struggle for, when they achieve shalom bayit, even a little bit, even just to that our wives are happy, how much bracha that brings into the world. So not just for ourselves to live with shalom bayit, it's Gan Eden, it's wonderful. But we should also know, and likewise for ourselves, that to not have shalom bayit is Gehinnom. But it's not just for us. Avraham is teaching us here that actually shalom bayit affects the whole world. My shalom bayit affects the whole world, for the good and for the opposite, chas v'shalom. And from the saying of Chazal, that good is so much more than bad, we can see how much, right? If I, chas v'shalom, cause my wife to be upset, and that causes very harsh decrees in the world, kama v'kama, how much more so does my efforts in shalom bayit bring goodness into the world? Man and his wife are the template for Hashem and the Shekhinah. Hashem wants the Shekhinah in the world, wants the goodness to be in the world, wants it to be shalom in the world. My shalom bayit is like shalom in the world. I bring shalom bayit into my home, I bring shalom into the world at large. Next paragraph. So yichim ladat heitev. We should know very well shehatzorech b'chazara hu gadol ma'od, that the need for revision is very great. Mechamat sheyitzah hara chazak ma'od binyan zeh, because Rav Arash is telling us we have a very strong yitzah hara in this area. In the area of shalom bayit, we have a very big yitzah hara. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we have a yitzah hara to dafka make our lives of our wife in misery. We don't have a yetzer hara to beat up on our wives, chas v'shalom. We want goodness for our wives. So where's our yetzer hara? A yetzer hara is very hidden. A yetzer hara is the yetzer hara that is going to cause our wives to be upset without us intending it. No one wants that. But we have a yetzer hara for our own kavod. We have a yetzer hara for our own desires. And all of these come along to destroy our shalom bayit. Even without intention, we want to have shalom bayit. So the Yetzer Hara doesn't come in and say to us, let's wreck our shalom bayit now. It's far more subtle. But without reviewing this material, our Yetzer Hara is very strong and it's going to make us fall. The kalkelet our shalom bayit is going to make us destroy our shalom bayit. God. Kol nekudot ha'avoda b'shalom bayit hem mehadvarim hamesurim lalev shetzurichim harbeh chazara b'shinun ad shehim nichnasim heitev lemuda'ot v'yotzein min hakoach el ha'poa. Rabbi says that we need to study this book over and over and do chazara until it becomes second nature, until these ideas go from being impotential to being too actual. From Koach to Poel, we can all agree, we can all listen to these shiurim, we can all read the book and agree that in principle it sounds great. I want to do exactly what Rav Shalom says here. It's wonderful advice. No one's going to argue with that. Well, if they've got any sense, they won't argue with it. But it's another thing to bring it from the level of being an idea to the level of being a practicality. So it becomes second nature to me. What does that mean? It means that when I'm in the situation, when I'm in the test, it's actually that's what's going to come out. I read in the book that one of the main principles of Shalom Bayit is never to criticize my wife. And what does that mean? That means never even to tell her she's doing something wrong, or to advise her on a better way of doing something. You know, it's not so good to do it that way. It's much better for you to do it another way. Even to tell her in a nice way, it's still a criticism. It's one thing to learn it in the book and to agree with it and to understand Rav Shalom's reasonings and say, yes, you know what, he's right. It's exactly how he writes it. That's how it should be. It's another thing to actually, in practice, when it comes along, my wife tells me, you know what, I was speaking with my daughter, with our daughter today, and I was telling her that really she shouldn't be wearing that top anymore. It's too short. She's outgrown it. It's a bit too short now, and it's not so sneers. And she's explaining to me what she said and how she was telling our daughter this, and then our daughter got upset and said, "It's my top. I'll do what I want." Blah blah. She got upset and she ran off. And so my wife explains, and this is what happened. So what's my natural inclination? My natural inclination, because Hashem gives me a Yetzahara, is to think, you did that wrong. You shouldn't have said that. Maybe don't say that to her. Maybe that's not the best advice to give. That's not the way you're going to get our daughter to dress more sneers. So what am I going to do? My Yetzahara says, no, tell your wife that she didn't do it wrong. I hear what you say. Next time, don't do that. Next time, tell her it looks good. Next time, maybe just advise her to wear a longer top. Tell her it's a very nice top and it looks great. But you know what? Maybe it's time to buy you some new stuff. And we don't have to harp on the fact that it's not CS and make her feel bad. That would be really good advice, I would think. My Yetzirah would tell me. But no, I learned from Rav Shalom, that's not my job to tell my wife that she messed up. That's not the way you speak to our children to get them to tell them what to do. Even though, why I want to do it is because I want to give good advice to my wife so that she can speak to our children in a way that's more effective, that's going to get them to do what she wants. It's helpful, no? So the answer Rav Shalom tells us is no. We're going to see in the book, Bezrat Hashem, when we get to that chapter on not criticizing, that making comments or giving advice on how they can do things better is also part of criticizing. And it doesn't help. It sounds good and it sounds like it should be good. Bezrat Hashem will see in more detail when we get there, but it's not good. My Yetzirah is telling me that I can actually show my wife how to do things. I know how to do things best, and I'm going to teach you. And it's going to destroy my Shalom Bayit. So how is it that I'm going to stand up in that test, and I'm not going to fall into giving good advice, which is really the Yetzirah dressed up? How am I going to fall? Only if it's second nature to me. Only if it's part of who I am. Only if I instantly recognize, before I open my mouth, that this is not going to be a good thing to say. How am I going to do that? Only when it becomes part of me by learning and reviewing the book. Over and over until it becomes who I am. Avrech Achad Siperli, Rav Arash says, one yeshiva student explained to me, Shezech Hadashim B'Shanim, that he goes over, for months and years, Shehu Shomer B'chol Yom Et Hakaletet Kavod Isha, for months and years he listened to just one CD of the Rav's called Kavod HaIsha, the respect of the wife. V'hu Yodeh B'Beiro, he knew very clearly, very well, Shezeh Ma Shenoten Lo Et HaKelim, that this is what gave him the vessels. This is what gave him the Shalom Bayit that he has. Like, you, like listening to one CD on Shalom Bayit over and over and over again for months and years, that's what gave him Shalom Bayit. Avrech Acher, another student, Heid Befanai, testified to him, Shehu Shamaita Kalete Tanal, that he listened to that same CD. Yotem Alba Ma'opayim, more than 400 times, said he listened to that CD. Right? A person shouldn't be afraid to go over something again and again. Right? We have, unfortunately, a Yetzirah that tells us that it's not good to keep going over the same thing. Much better to learn something new, learn something different. You read that book yesterday, you finished it, put it away, learn something different. It's a bit of a Yetzirah. Because it's one thing to learn lots of different books, but it's another thing to actually know them very well. And especially the important things, like Shalom Bayit. Right? That's where a person should invest their effort. Much better that they are an expert in one, and rather than being very shallow in lots. Much better to be an expert in one. Right? Then we can actually do something with it. Isha Chad Sipruli, one wife told me, Maharish says, Shebameshech Kama Chadashim, for many months, Shabala Hayat Samud Lesefer Zeh, that her husband was engrossed in this book for many months. Hayala Gan Eden Babayet. It was Gan Eden in their home, the wife explained to Rav Arash. Umiyad She Hifsik Likrobo, and as soon, immediately that he stopped reading it, Chazar Gehinnom. It went back to being Gehinnom. Hoi. And more than this, you should also know. When I was writing this book, Rabbi says, Kol Nakudah Shekutuv Bo, every matter, everything that I wrote in it, Hu Beiti Ma'od Litboded Ulitpalel Aleha. I spent a lot of time in Hitbodedut and prayer on each and everything that I wrote in here. Lefamim B'meshech Chadashim Arukim. Sometimes for many months, I would spend in prayer on the things that I wrote here. Ad shezachiti liknota, until I merited to acquire them. Like to really, not just that Rav Arish thought, this is a good idea, I'll write a good idea. No. He spent months in prayer in order to acquire everything that he wrote in the book. Vada yom yeshli b'chol yom tefila al shalom bayit. And even till today, Rav Arish says, I pray every single day on shalom bayit. And especially on the point that a person should not criticize his wife at all on anything, even by mistake. Rav Arish prays even today that he shouldn't criticize his wife, even by mistake. So we see how difficult it is. The Rav, for sure, has no bad intention. Rav Ishur knows the material he wrote in his own book and spent months in Hitbodedut to really understand it and grasp it. And he still prays every day not to make a mistake in criticizing his wife. Because that's how easy it is for the Yetzer Hara to fool us, especially in that area. But I'm just going to give some advice over here. I'm just going to give some helping hand. But no, it's actually a Yetzer Hara dressed in a mitzvah. All our Yetziharas come dressed in mitzvot. They don't come looking like a Yetzirah, because we would run a mile from them. All our Yetziharas dress up like mitzvot. It's a good thing, it's what Hashem wants from you, you're helping. Whatever the mitzvah is, and to see through that. To see through that Yetzirah, to see it's really a Yetzirah. It's not a mitzvah. That's what takes prayer. That Hashem helps us that we don't stumble, that we don't fall. Lachen, therefore, mi sheyesh lo hitbodedut, the person who has hitbodedut, but vadai zeh tov biyotoi, that's really the best thing. The best thing is to have hitbodedut. A person spends time in the field or in his own private space where he can speak to Hashem for an hour a day, ideally, for whatever time he can devote, of Arish says, for an hour a day. Nachman said for an hour a day. Sorry?
Is it better at the same time?
It's better to do it all in one go.
No, but I mean...
To fix the time? If a person fixes a time, he's more likely to fulfill it. When we don't have a fixed time, then we're subject to whatever happens in the day. And the Yetzirah has a wonderful way of bringing whatever it can. But if we're very strong in the face of the Yetzirah, Rav Nachman says the Yetzirah tries twice, three times, four times, and then he goes away. When he sees that he has no chance in convincing you, he'll go away. But he will try two, three, four times, and to get us to do whatever it is that we shouldn't be doing.
And then I'll come back in a week, 2 weeks, and try again.
But if we're strong, he'll go away. He'll go away completely. We have to be strong. Our trouble is that we usually give up. We give up after the first time, the second time, the third time, wherever it is. Right? We give up because we think that the eighth hour is always going to be there, so what's the point? There's no chance, I'm never going to beat him. But no, the eighth hour has limited patience too. Baruch Hashem. And he will give up. The eighth hour is a busy guy, right? We know from Masechet Tanit that we learned that the Yetzer Hara is a busy guy, can't do it, and he has shlichim. He can't do it all himself. That's why he made a mistake with Mary, the hairdresser that he took by mistake, right? Because he gave the job to a shliach, and the shliach messed up. Right, so we see that the Yetzer Hara, Rav Nathan says, that the Yetzer Hara, that the angel of death was too busy and didn't have time to look after all the niftarim, all the people who are dying that you needed to look after. So he created shluchim, he created agents, and they were the doctors. Right? He created doctors to assist him because he can't be everywhere at once. So a person should know that the Yetzer Hara, it doesn't have infinite ability, right? He's also limited, and if a person is strong, he'll give up. We'll go somewhere else or try someone else that's easier pickings, right? Like Rav Dror tells us that Rav Aris says, I gave the Yetzer Hara Yush. I made him fall into despair, and not the other way around, right? The Yetzer Hara comes to Rav Aris, shakes his head and walks away. Like, what's the point? You're like, oh, no point. Don't put trying with this guy. What's the point? It's not going to happen, right? And if we're strong, am I strong, right? The Yetzer Hara, we have that too. Baruch Hashem, we also have a Yetzer Hara that walks away. Right, we can walk past a treif restaurant, and the Yetzer Hara comes into our head and thinks, I'm going to try and make him eat a bit of pig. And then he looks at it and says, no, there's no point. There's not even any point. He doesn't even bother. He doesn't come knocking anymore to say, come eat some pig. What's the point? It's a waste of time. It's not going to affect you anymore. Right? He's gone. So too with all the other Yetzirim. They also disappear. They also disappear. Even the really tough ones, right? The really tough ones like, that we know, like lust for women, right? That's a tough one. That's not going to break in 5 minutes, right? It's not going to break in five, but it happens. A friend of mine was telling me that he was speaking with a guy who said he'd been working, I don't know how they got into the conversation, but talking holy issues about Shmirat Inayim, etc. He was talking with a guy and he about Shmirat Inayim, the difficulties, and the guy said to him, not anymore, Baruch Hashem, I don't have the problem anymore. He said, really? He said, 7 years. He said, I worked on it for 7 years and I don't have it anymore. So after 7 years of working on it, I don't know, I can't testify myself, I'm not there yet. But this guy said, after working on it for 7 years, doesn't have any more, it's gone. Just like I don't have the a desire to eat pig. So he doesn't have a desire to look at women anymore. Yoffi, right? Eventually it goes away. And Marish says that he can look at a woman and just see a piece of wood. Whereas we look at a piece of wood and we see a woman. Right? Tov, Be'ezrat Hashem, right? But it only comes with prayer and continuous study, which is what Arish is saying about this. Shalom bayit, the big things, we had the greatest klipa, the biggest difficulties, right? The greatest things had the biggest difficulties. That's why Hidbodadut, that you were mentioning, Mavarin, is also very difficult because it's the biggest thing. It's Rav Nachman writes that Bodedut is me'alam me'alakol. It's above everything, because it's what's going to bring a person to their tikkun. It's what's going to bring them close to Hashem. Out of all the mitzvahs that the person can do, it's going to bring them to emunah. It's going to bring them to a relationship with Hashem. It's going to bring them to a desire to do mitzvahs, a desire to have kavanah, a desire to pray with kavanah, a desire to do mitzvahs with kavanah, a desire to do what Hashem wants. All that's going to come through with Bodedut. And without his Bodedut, very unlikely to have any of that. I can do Torah mitzvahs all day long, but without any feeling, without any intention, without any desire. I'm doing it because I need to do it. I know I'm meant to do it. I'm doing it. But I'm missing the Ikke is missing from the Sefer. The main thing is missing from the book. Right? The Emunah, belief in Hashem, desire to do the mitzvahs. That all comes through with Bodedut. And because it's so great, we have the biggest obstacles. Which is why we should try and make it a priority above everything else, that I don't let anything else get in the way of it, ideally, because the Yetzer Hara will find things to get in the way. Varish says that a person who has trouble sleeping at night was insomnia. The biggest Yetzer, the biggest advice for him, is he should do his Bodedut in his bed, on his pillow. Because as soon as he starts to do his Bodedut, he's going to be out like a light. Because the Yetzer Hara is not going to let him do his Bodedut. Much better sleep. He's going to let him sleep. He's going to say, go to sleep. Right? If you want to fall asleep and you can't fall asleep, do his Bodedut. It's the greatest advice to how to fall asleep very quickly. The Yetzer Hara will not let you do his Bodedut much rather you fall asleep. Same thing here with true Shalom Bayit. And Arish explained that Shalom Bayit is really the tachlit of the person. It's really the where a person comes to know whether or not they're actually serving Hashem. It's only through the test in Shalom Bayit. Which is why Shalom Bayit is the greatest way that the person can serve Hashem. The only true test is in the home. Because of that, that's where it's going to be difficult. That's where it's going to be really hard. Famous story of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov tells a story that he was having. I think it's in the book. Baruch Hashem, we're going to get to it. But Tov, I brought it up now. It's from this book. It's written in the book. Baal Shem Tov was having Seder night, Pesach. He was having Seder with his Talmidim. And it was an amazing Seder. His Talmidim were all on a very high level. Baal Shem Tov, Kavanot. Of Kabbalah, huge. They were of each thing they were eating. They were understanding all the meanings. They were flying, right? It was like a heavenly Seder night. And they could taste Gan Eden with such a high level. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, they finished everything. Finished Afikoman, cleared away, and one of their students said to the Baal Shem Tov, "Psh, Harebi. What a Seder night we merited to have tonight. What a Seder. Oy vavoy, that must have been. Tell me," because Rav Sheltov knows what's going on. "Tell me, in Shemaim, that must have been pretty, you know, that was a pretty good Seder night, no?" Rav Sheltov said, "It was good, but in Shemaim, you want to see a Seder night that is really causing a stir? It's like, the angels are trembling from such a Seder that you've never heard of or seen before." They're like, "Yes, Rebbe, tell us. He said, "I can do better, I'll show you, come with me." So they went with the Rebbe, and it was still a few minutes before Chatzot. And they walked to the edge of town, and they came to a small house on the edge of town. There's a candle burning in the window. And they look in, it's a very poor house, and they see the Balabait, the husband, and they're looking through the window, and they're looking for this Seder night. And they look over the table. The table's not even set. Thinking, maybe they're finished. And the Baal Shem says, no, come, look closer, watch. And they're looking in, and the table's not set. And the Baal Abayit's there, and he's speaking to his wife. And he's saying to his wife, "My wife, my dear, it's nearly coming to Chatzot. Maybe we should set the table and do the Suda now." And the wife is screaming at the husband and saying, "No, I'm fed up. I've cooked and I've cleaned. and I've tidied everything up, and I've been searching for Hamet, and I'm tired, and I'm not interested. I'm fed up with this Pesach. And the husband's saying, but maybe we'll just have a little bit of matzah just to fulfill the mitzvah. We've still got time. Maybe I'll look after everything. And the wife's going, no, forget it. I'm not interested. Forget it. And the husband's, my dear, I understand that you've been working very hard. And Baruch Hashem, I'm going to do everything. And I'm tired. You won't have to touch anything. If you want, you can join me. But maybe I'll just set it for myself, if you want. And the wife's, you're useless. You only think about yourself. You never think about me. You think of the week I've had. And it's going on and on. And the students are there watching, like, look at what's going on. And the husband is keeping calm. He's just saying, my wife, you sit down. Let me make for you a hot drink. While you're sitting down, I'll just set the table over here in the corner. I'll just put some matzah there. We've got another minute or so. I'm sure we can fulfill the mitzvahs in that time. Just sit here. Let me make you be working. So you sit down. You relax. So she sits down. You breathe a sigh. Here. Let me look after you. Brings her a cushion. Checks his watch. Never watch them, but checks their time. Sits down. Quickly makes a brocha. Eats a piece of matzah. Eats a little bit of the bitter herbs. Dips twice, folds everything up, puts it all away carefully, and then sits down with his wife. Says, my wife, what can I do for you now? The Baal Shem Tov says, come. We're done. We're finished here. And the students look at him. Think, what? That compares to our Seder. We were in Kavanot and Shemayim. We were doing all the holy names of Hashem. We were really mamash, we were leaving this shrine, we were all there. And this, he said, yeah. He said, in Shemayim, what you just saw there was huge, huge. It cancelled gezerot like you've never even understood. It brought Shefa into the world like you never even can imagine what you just saw there. The fact that the man himself managed in such a stressful situation on the night of Seder night, to fulfill the holiest mitzvahs of eating matzah and not to in any way upset his wife and to listen to her completely. And he, for sure, if she would have said no, he wouldn't have even done the mitzvahs. His shalom bayit was far more important for him. Now he could have just told his wife, you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it, I'm sitting here, I'm eating, I'll speak to you later. No. Far more important for him that his wife was at ease and relaxed and have shalom bayit. And because of that, they gave him to do everything he needed to do. Right? He fulfilled everything he was yotzei in a chovah, he fulfilled all of his obligations. Tov, not according to all those, but who needs that? That's not what Hashem was asking of him. Hashem wants of him, wants of us, the highest holy ideals, shalom bayit. They're really above everything. Bezrat Hashem, we can only do it through constant review and through constant prayer. Bezrat Hashem, through learning the book of Rav Arish, we can achieve such great things and cause such great nachat to Borei Olam and bring shefa to ourselves, our families, and all of Am Yisrael. Amen.